Hello and welcome to another episode of the CG Garage. This is episode number 167 featuring Boris Samandoff. And Boris has been on before, and you guys know him if you do listen to the podcast. He is a member of the Chaos Group team and has been in charge of getting V-Ray Cloud up and running for a long time. And trust me, some of the stuff that he's done is incredible. And this is the first time we get to talk about our actual, one of our products, which is V-Ray Cloud. And this is not sort of a higher level stuff. This is down to the user level. Really, really impressive. Now, first thing I want to do is tell you just sort of one idea is think about the fact that anyone now, based on what we're doing, has access to the largest render farm that will that can basically surpass anything that's ever been made out there. Meaning based on our cloud system and the way that we do our cloud stuff, you basically have access to thousands, if not millions of computers that you can use to do your renderings. And that's a big, big deal. Now, the other thing that's really impressive, you say, oh, okay, so I have a really, really large render farm. Managing a really large render farm is actually extremely complicated and extremely expensive. Well, you don't have to worry about that. And that is one of the things that's really amazing about this. One thing I really want you to emphasize when you're looking or listening to this podcast, and listen to it throughout. I'm just going to give you one example, but this example is sort of explains how the team has spent a lot of time of taking something that's extremely complex and making it seamless, if not invisible to the user. So here's the example, just to sort of go into the technical side of things. There are two kinds of computers that you can rent on the cloud, on, you know, sort of these clouds, the Google Cloud, Amazon Cloud, Azure Cloud, whatever it is. They have a machine that they call a preemptible machine and a machine they call non-preemptible. A non-preemptible machine is a machine that you rent and it's yours and you can do whatever you want and you pay a certain price for that. Now, you can get a massive discount on a machine that's called a preemptible machine, and that machine is a machine that's sort of left over and not doing anything, that's not being used. You say, hey, you got a spare machine here not doing anything, can I use it? And the fact is, you can use it, but if they need to use it, they'll just take it away from you, and then you can rent another one that you can use. And, you know, that's sort of an inconvenience of losing that machine, but the discount is really, really big, so it may be worth it. Now, what we do, based on the technology that the cloud team and Boris and all those guys have been working on, is we have something, as you may know, called resumable rendering. So when someone takes a machine from away from us, it doesn't stop, it just stops to render, but it doesn't go back to zero. And then we just open up another preemptible machine and continue rendering where we left off. From the user's point of view, all you see is a slight pause. You don't even know that that happened. And you get the full benefit of a discount of a preemptible machine, and the render just looks like it's just keeps going. So it's really amazing what they've done. And this is only one example. There's actually a lot of other examples. And the machines that you have available on the cloud are incredible. Right now, it is basically, when we recorded a podcast, it's something that we're sort of looking into. It's not sort of open for everyone yet. You have to sign up. So if you're interested in trying it out, we definitely need people to try it out and tell us what their feedback is and how it's going. So please do that. It's only available sort of in the SketchUp and Rhino and Revit world right now, but it will be available. No worries. It will be available sort of in the Maya and Max world as well. So we will be announcing those things as they happen. But V-Ray Cloud is kind of a really, really big deal. And I think that you guys will be able to do that. We mentioned all of your concerns out there. Things like amount of I/O, which is, again, a very clever solution as to what we have in terms of transferring data back and forth. We're really, really smart about that. In terms of what other things? In terms of security, a lot of questions of security. We addressed those, including the Spectre thing that was been going on, all the CPU news and how that affects the clouds and how it affects performance. We also address things basically like price and figure those things out and let you guys know how to think about pricing of your renders. So we make it really, really simple, and I think you guys will enjoy it. Would love your feedback. Of course, go to the podcast page itself. So just go to chaosgroup.com/cg-garage. That's the podcast main page. And just go to this podcast for this podcast, go to that page, and we'll have some videos up there for you guys to check out and other things. So lots of things there. And let us know what you think. I'd love to hear your feedback. Let us know if you have any ideas, if you have any concerns you want us to address. That's what we're here for. That's what we want to hear from you guys about. Actually, I do have several announcements. You guys know about Total Chaos. I've been mentioning that several times. It is our conference that's happening in Sofia on May 18th and 19th. And go to chaosgroup.com/totalchaos to go check that out and see. We'd love to see you there. I'll be there. All of us will be there, actually. So it'll be very exciting to have you there. There are other news. GTC is happening. Before I even get to that, I've actually had surgery recently, and a lot of you guys knew that and were sending me some very kind emails and notes on social media and comments and chats. And I really appreciate all of your kind words and thoughts. I'm doing much, much better, as you can hear. And I'll be on the road to a full recovery, I hope. So I'm in great shape, and I really appreciate that. But it also means I will not be able to go to GTC, which is the GPU Technology Conference that is happening in San Jose right as this podcast comes out. Lots of announcements going on here. Lots of stuff going on GPU rendering. We've actually had a really big press release about what the enormous amount of work that's going into V-Ray Next with our GPU team. So definitely go check that out. Lots of stuff happening on the GPU. And I'm sure you guys have a lot of questions about some of the news announcements of like real-time ray tracing. What does that mean for V-Ray? Actually, it means a lot of really great things and a lot of really great things for the users. This is an extremely exciting time to be in the rendering world, and this is our world. We're very excited to be there. There's a lot of things that we've been involved with. We know about a lot of technology long before you guys may know about it. So we're very excited about all of this news, especially all of the new hardware and libraries that are making rendering happen this fast. So very exciting time to be right now. And please follow us and let us know what you guys want to hear about, more about, etc. Love to tell you. That said, this has been a long intro. I want to make sure you guys enjoy the podcast with Boris. So with that being said, thank you so much. Hope you guys enjoy this awesome podcast with my good friend Boris Samandoff on V-Ray Cloud.
Welcome to another CG Garage, where the Chaos Group talks. You'll know it's over when the last bucket drops. We're gonna fire off rays in high dynamic range. We know that ambient occlusion is passe. Global illumination won't lead you astray. And while image-based lighting is really swell, you need to make sure everything has Fresnel.
Okay, Boris, let's go.
Let's go. Boom.
All right, let's talk about this. This is we've been wanting to do this since I got here, which is almost a week ago.
Yeah, but actually too many things happened.
Which is good. I mean, the fact is that we've been very busy talking about stuff, and I think it's important that we do this, because I think that you and I have done several podcasts together, and we've been talking about things that we wanted to do, and this is sort of one of the first times that we were able to talk about those things and how we've actually done them. This is really cool. So the first thing that we should say is that, you know, the teaser that you showed that went out on the internet, and there'll probably be a bit more information when this actual podcast comes out, is that we showed something in the V-Ray for Rhino where at the end you just go to render, and then there's a drop down and you go render, and then there's a little cloud.
Just the little cloud button.
The little cloud button. Yeah. So what happens when right now, if you go to the little cloud button, you don't really get to render the cloud, you get to sign up for something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at the moment, we have our first product actually to have this visible cloud button is V-Ray for Rhino, 3.6. And right now we are just moving our clients to the early access program, or they can sign for the waiting list, or I don't know how to say that, but that should be fine. And we're looking forward to put more users, real users, on our new cloud services that is coming.
Yep.
rendering service that we're gonna have later in 2018.
Mm-hmm. And this is basically, it's what you're doing is you've implemented some very interesting things. The main takeaway is that it's very, very, very simple.
Oh yeah, that was the initial design, and everything that we did was to be so simple that you actually are not going to understand that that's a quad rendering.
Right.
We have also prototypes that we move the entire, we call portal, that you can see the rendering in a browser.
Mm-hmm.
For some of our products, we moved even that thing inside the product itself.
Right.
So it seems like, no, there is no cloud, right?
Right.
It's somewhere, all the renderings are happening like, I don't know, maybe 50, 100 times faster.
Right.
And you can see the final image in a couple of minutes. Of course, it depends on the complexity of the image and everything
sure.
else.
But so really, just so for a little bit of background, even though most of it will be almost invisible to the user, is when you're actually rendering, it's sending all this information to the cloud, right? So it
yes.
sends all your whole scene file, everything it needs over to the cloud. And then when it's on the cloud, it'll start rendering. And then as it's rendering, in the viewport itself, you can see that your viewport becomes a replacement for your frame buffer, in a sense.
Exactly. So all the data that is needed for the actual rendering, mm-hmm. We're taking care about that. So
right.
users shouldn't think about that.
Right.
And at the single press of a button, mm-hmm. all the data necessary to conduct the right rendering mm-hmm. will be moved to the cloud in the fastest possible way. First time, of course, when you do the first rendering, you're going to wait just a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. to move all the data. It depends how much is big your data.
Mm-hmm.
Second time, we're going to move only the data that is actually changed on your machine.
Right.
And it's extremely, extremely fast.
Well, that's the thing. Let's talk about this for a second, because obviously when people think, okay, what's the data that's changed? And he says, okay, so you change the texture map, obviously he has to upload a new texture map.
Yes.
But if you've changed something in your scene file, it doesn't have to upload the entire scene file again.
No.
That's the trick.
That's the trick.
The trick is that it understands the changes within your scene file and only uploads that change.
Yes.
And that can be milliseconds.
Almost all the time is like a couple of milliseconds.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So it's like you're continuously you're interfacing with the cloud as if it's like your own computer.
Mm-hmm. That's the whole idea.
Right.
The whole idea of the cloud is like we would like our service to be working as serverless rendering. That's what we like to call it.
Mm-hmm.
So users are not thinking about machines or virtual cores or megabytes or gigabytes of RAM or even storage.
Right.
It's just something that when you press the button, you submit this thing, and in a couple of minutes you get the rendering done.
Right.
That's the whole thing. And we will make sure that we will execute the whole rendering as soon as possible for you.
Okay, so how are we doing that? How are we getting so much computer power? How is the cloud able to do that for you?
That's interesting. So, first of all, a lot of engineering is going behind the scenes.
Of course.
This is the first thing. In fact, imagine you have like under the hood, actually we are operating real machines, right?
Of course.
It's not like one big, huge machine with, let's say, 10,000 cores.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that we're doing is we're pretty smart on scheduling different, let's say, jobs or rendering on specific machines.
Mm-hmm.
And that's behind the scenes, of course. Mm-hmm. Users are never going to know actually what kind of machine they're using. It's about the speed.
Right.
So we would like to think about quad rendering, something that can help you render more in a simplest possible way.
Right.
So there is no plugins additional that you have to install. It's just part of VRA.
Right.
And we should think of that like an extension of VRA and ability to render more in a, you know, timely manner.
Sure.
So you can get the thing in 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever.
Right, because this is something important that people need to know. A lot of people who are used to using V-Ray are saying, "The I need a very powerful machine to mm-hmm. render very quickly. And if I use a slower machine, it's cheaper, mm-hmm. but I'll get it slower, but at least my machine is cheaper." Mm-hmm. So, but you guys are looking at it differently because cloud, it doesn't matter in the sense that, as an example, you know, a one-hour render on one slow machine mm-hmm. costs the same as a 10-minute render on six slow machines, right?
Yeah, that's the point here.
Right.
So in the cloud,
or 60 machines, because it's the same. It's the amount of compute per second, right?
Mm-hmm. So at the moment, we would like to, let's say, offer to our users the best possible experience.
Right.
And we're looking forward to get as much as possible cores in the cloud without putting some kind of premium. That will be at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be awesome because even extremely complex scenes, then if you have complex scenes, the idea is to get them rendered in, let's say, minutes, but
right.
not hours, right?
Right.
Also, we're going to have GPU rendering in
okay.
the cloud. Right
yeah.
now, is in alpha, only mm-hmm. for internal testing.
Right.
But that's coming for sure. We're going to have internal, let's say, in the cloud distributed rendering.
Okay.
So that's also a big thing. Users are not going to know that is happening, but it will be happening for them
right.
automatically. And that's, again, for the best user experience that you get. It's
right.
about the speed. Cloud is about the speed all the time.
Right.
Right. Otherwise, you're going to wait. Why you should use the cloud? If you can render something for 10 hours and just wait for 10 hours, then you're going to wait for 10 hours
right.
on your Wacom machine. But imagine you have a frame that is 10 hours to render on your machine, and at that moment, first, you can't use your machine most
right.
of the time, right?
Yep.
Can't do anything else with that machine.
Yeah.
And also imagine you have animation with, let's say, 300, 400, let's say, frames.
Mm-hmm.
In the cloud, all those frames are going to be rendered in parallel.
Right.
And every single frame will be rendered also faster.
Right.
So in the cloud is you know, extremely big possibility that you can get that kind of animation
done in
faster
in minutes.
In minutes.
Right.
Yes, faster than a single frame in your local machine.
Right. But this is really important, specifically for example, like for the SketchUp guys, because they don't have. Most of the people in our SketchUp world don't have access to huge render farms, right? This is usually
oh, yeah.
reserved for big animation studios, visual
mm-hmm.
effects studios. They may have 1,000 machines, etc.
Yeah, and also...
But like one guy who's a SketchUp guy who wants to do an animation suddenly has a farm...
Extreme power.
yeah, he has the access to a farm the size of Industrial Light and Magic or bigger.
Yeah, even bigger.
Right.
Why not?
Why not?
Yeah. Think is that those guys, even today, they can use the cloud, any kind of public cloud, could mm-hmm. be, you know, Microsoft Azure, AWS, Google Cloud, wherever,
right.
IBM, Oracle. I mean, most of the big guys today, they're offering some kind of a cloud infrastructure.
Right.
But the thing is that you should be really, let's say, technical savvy
yep.
about how you're going to use that infrastructure
mm-hmm.
because it's not that easy to orchestrate so many machines, put the data up, then get the data to the specific virtual machine, run the renderer, then wait, then you should forget to, you know, shut down those machines because
right.
they will cost money. And what we're gonna offer is a seamless experience. You don't care about the machines. You care
right.
only about your rendering.
You only and right, because you're here's the other thing. Let's say you decide, oh, I'm gonna make a render farm for myself. Right,
mm-hmm.
I'd say I'm going to do so much animation that I need a render farm. Render farms, you pay for them whether you're using them or not.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're always paying for it. You're paying for the machine. You're paying for the air conditioning. You're paying for the power. You're paying for everything.
If it's your on-prem, yes.
Right. If it's your on-prem.
You're going to own the hardware. You have to put that hardware somewhere.
And that hardware devalues over time.
Yes, and it breaks.
And it breaks, and it needs drivers, and it needs supports, yes. And you need staff to support it and maintain it. You need to have infrastructure. You need to build a whole networking system inside
of
your office.
So here is the point. Yeah, you're quite right. The thing is that most of the guys are doing calculations right now, and they're saying, oh, the cloud is kind of expensive for us.
Right.
But when you put everything, like all the little things that you're like actual expenses that you're doing on that.
Right.
And it may turn out that the cloud or the service that we're going to provide could be even cheaper.
Could be.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because the other thing is you're paying for the cloud when you're using it, mm-hmm. but you're also not
it's
paying
a
for
it. Right?
But you're not paying for it when you're not using it.
Yeah. And it's not about paying for a virtual machine. It's about paying, doing the job.
Paying for the usage.
Exactly on a usage, exactly on a millisecond.
When your renders are stopped, you're not paying for it anymore.
No.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the cool features that this thing has. Obviously, we mentioned the ease of use and how fast it updates to the point where you're not sitting here wondering like, oh, it's going to take forever to upload my changes, et cetera. It's constantly updating itself. And any minor changes are only minor updates as you go along, mm-hmm. right? And most of the changes are fairly minor as you go, so they're really not that big a deal.
Yeah, especially when you're doing, you know, lighting and shading, most of the changes are basically different kind of changes in the materials, right, or lights. So those kind of data that we have to move to the cloud is when we have the initial data mm-hmm. already in the cloud, those kind of changes are really small.
Right.
And we have really great, you know, demo videos and whatever, even the current experience is mm-hmm. just most of the time after the first upload of a given job or let's say project, mm-hmm. then the next iteration that you do in the cloud is less than a second.
Right.
To, you know, upload everything that is needed, the new stuff.
Right.
So this is what we call like smart caching or smart syncing of data.
Right.
And as when you render more, then most of your data will stay. Of course, you're gonna have control to delete that data,
right
from the cloud, and that's on your account. So it's secure. It is way more secure than having that even in your render.
Okay,
farm.
Explain that for why is it more secure? I know why, but explain to someone if you're gonna convince me that my stuff on
why
the cloud is
secure. First of all, the data is sharded in multiple ways. Even we can't exactly know different pieces of data, how they're combined, right? It's extremely hard, I mean, as a company. Second, why we're using one of the biggest guys in the industry, and the security in those public clouds is by definition way better than everything that you can do on your own servers in your render
right.
farms. So there are multiple things that when they're combined, the overall security is way better.
Okay. So let's say I wanted to start using this service, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I have an account, right?
Yes.
I have an
you
account.
You go to a website.
You go to an account and it's like, it's my account.
Oh, so actually, that's the account for Chaos Group that you have. That's the Chaos Group
ID. It's the same account.
Yes, that's the same account.
So then you log into your cloud account, mm-hmm. which is the same account.
The
cloud portal. And then when I send my data, mm-hmm. or the data is being sent, it's encrypted, I'm assuming.
Yeah, of course it's encrypted during the way.
During the way. So no one can see it as it's on.
No,
as
there's
it's going.
No way.
And then once it's rendering, all that data is in a completely virtual environment that's completely encrypted as
yes,
well.
Yes, there are a couple of layers of virtualization and sandboxing that we're doing in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no way anyone, even, you know, any kind of user or even we is kind of hard for us to check that thing.
Right. Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about security because I wanted to, a little side conversation because I wanted to talk to you about this and this could help some people that may have some questions.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the question of security has come up recently in the news in terms of Spectre and Meltdown.
Oh, right. That's a big topic. Yeah.
It is a big topic, but I think, you know, somehow we need to have some idea of like, how is it going to, one, affect security and how is it going to affect performance? We don't necessarily have the answer to all of this, but we know that there are some questions about this. One thing I do know is that most of the, you know, in order to quote unquote fix the problem, rendering is not necessarily going to be as affected in terms of speed compared to other things. Am I correct?
Yeah, you're quite right about that. So we did some tests with V-Ray, and also knowing the vulnerabilities, we're kind of okay to say that they will not affect that much V-Ray in a way. So initial numbers were like 23% decrease of the performance, right, when you patch the system.
Right.
It depends on what kind of patch you're going to use. But the thing is that will affect mostly input-output operations, and during the rendering itself and the highly compute thing that we're doing inside the rendering, of course, that there's not much input-output, right?
Right. It's already got it in RAM.
So. Yeah, most of the things. And the way V-Ray is written, because you have a lot of, things that are happening and going from a user space to kernel space and branch, not branch prediction, but with a memory boundaries problem. That's the variant one of the Spectre. Mm-hmm. But the way V-Ray is written is that it's not affected that much.
Right.
We can say maybe, I can't say a number, fixed number, but maybe 3-5%.
Right.
Could be way less.
Right. Could be way less, which basically means that you're still getting a huge amount of advantage of the cloud process at this time.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, if you're using public cloud provider, then it's like 99%, I would say 100%, that most of the machines that are in the cloud are patched in the right way, mm-hmm, from the vendor itself.
Right.
So you don't have to think about that. But so the problem is that one of the things are still not patched. So one of the variant of the Spectre is still not patched. So
right,
that need to be recompiled.
Right.
The original code should be recompiled and checked.
Not from us, but from the operating system.
Yeah. So the VMs and the operating system and everything else, right now we have pretty good patches.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't say that we should, be concerned a lot about that. And there are, really good security guys that are taking care about that in a good way. I would be more concerned on my workstation.
Right. Yeah.
Windows workstation.
Absolutely.
Or even Mac workstation.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously the cloud is not just V-Ray that's using the cloud. It is some highly sensitive information is on the cloud constantly, and so those people are still trusting the cloud in a lot of ways. So
In fact, the way those vulnerabilities were found, the Project Zero from Google's Project Zero,
right,
found it in July 2017.
Right,
that's like 6-7 months.
Right,
and they found it in a way that they wanted to improve the security of Google Cloud. Right.
Right.
And those kind of, bugs, I would say, they were in the CPUs for 10, 20 years. I don't know exactly how much. And nobody, or at least nobody said anything about that.
Right.
So
it's interesting because the whole idea of how this bug happened is because we were trying so hard to make CPUs faster. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That's another. Yeah, the prediction, branch prediction was one of the... Yeah,
and CPUs got faster because of it, but somehow it was a loophole.
Yep.
But okay, so we feel pretty strongly that we can say one, this does not affect your security on the cloud, and two, you'll have minimal impact in speed even after the patch.
Yeah, initially we were kind of worried about performance hit, mm-hmm, especially on V-Ray.
Mm-hmm.
And first couple of days were like, so right now the price of the public cloud infrastructure just doubled because of
the speed change.
Because of the speed change,
right,
yeah.
Right, right.
Especially for rendering.
Right.
If you're doing, simple web service or whatever without a lot of compute power, then, mm-hmm, your CPU utilization is not that big one.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, maybe 20 days after the initial post at Google Box, mm-hmm, we're kind of okay with that.
Yeah.
And definitely there will be improvement in the next couple of months.
Okay.
Even the current patches will get faster.
Right. And so there's a couple of things that we do to make these renders really fast and affordable, in a sense. One is that we use... we use a massive VMs, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we use nice big VMs, like,
you know, depends wherever what we have, because even the cloud, when you say public cloud, is like, you, most of the guys are thinking core guys, you know. Mm-hmm. Infinity amount of cores or virtual machines. It's not like this. Nobody's gonna, you know, give you for just like this 100,000 virtual machines, because right. even the biggest guys, they don't have that amount of machines
right.
for just a single user account. So mm-hmm. you have to, you know, do some, usually you talk with those guys, it could be Amazon or Microsoft or Google, and they have to dedicate specific power for you, mm-hmm. specific machines that you can be able to run at any given time. Mm-hmm. Of course, in a, could be pay-as-you-go principle or some kind of a committed usage, let's say.
Well, that's the thing that I want to say is that we, some of the machines that we're looking at using are called preemptible machines.
Yes, yes.
And so the advantage of preemptible machines is they're significantly cheaper. Right.
Oh, yeah.
And that is an advantage that we can pass along to our users.
That's the whole idea. The idea is to make the service as cheap as possible.
Right.
Of course, we have to cover our operating costs and sure. everything that we're doing. But the good thing is that the user is not going to know exactly how and what kind of machine they, sure. they're going to use. Also, if something bad happened with the machine, we have this ability to
hide. Let's not go too fast. Let's okay. not go too fast, because I'm going to that's what I'm getting at. Okay. So preemptible machines, so that people understand what that is that
there's spot instances in
right.
Amazon. Yes,
they're basically yeah. a machine that you can just run in a few seconds, right? You can just fire up, right? Mm-hmm. And you basically, it becomes a VM that's up there. But the cloud service can decide that it'll reclaim that machine if they need it for some reason.
Yes, at any given time.
At any given time. And it happens depending on the – it happens sometimes, not as often as people think, but it does happen.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, it happens.
It happens. Yeah. So, but the advantage of the preemptible machines is they're significantly cheaper than a dedicated machine that they will mm-hmm. never take away from you.
In fact, those machines are just machines that they're not in – some kind of operational
they're just sitting around
thing. They're sitting around, and that's why they're so cheap right,
right.
now.
They're so. Like leftovers.
Yes. Kind of. Yeah.
And so they're even saying, like, oh, we got some leftovers here. You can use them for super cheap. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're using. Now, the cool thing is that even if they take – if I'm my rendering is going and it's, you know, two-thirds done mm-hmm. and they take the machine away, I don't have to start all over again. Right?
Oh, yeah. No.
Why?
Because we're smart.
Yeah. Right.
So we have this ability to pause any job in the cloud. That is VRA job, of course. Mm-hmm. And pause means that you can resume that job and move that job to another machine. Right. It could be a machine with different, you know, RAM or even different CPU power. Mm-hmm. We can start a job on a super, super fast machine, and then we can find out that we don't need that. We can move it, or vice versa. So,
right. And that's because of something we did before, which is the resumable rendering.
Yes.
So resumable rendering allows you to go up, stop here, nope, start back up over there, right?
Also, the cool thing is that the user is going to have so we democratize that feature directly to the user.
Yep.
So if you run a progressive rendering in the cloud mm-hmm. and you're going to see after, let's say, 10, 15, 20 seconds, some kind of a good, let's say, noisy image, but mm-hmm. good enough to at least get the feel of how the image will look.
Right.
So you can pause at that moment.
Right.
You can share that image with somebody and say, is it good enough? Yeah, it's good. Okay, let's render until it's full quality.
And even if they take away your machine completely and you start it up again, you don't even know this.
No,
it just starts on another computer.
There are no machines.
That's awesome.
Yes.
I mean, it's kind of cool. So basically, that's a great point, because it brings up something else that Slavi was making sure that we want to talk about. I should note that Slavi has been awesome, and she wants to make sure we hit a lot of these points.
All right.
So we're doing this really well.
So,
yeah, good.
Thank you, Slavi.
Thank you, Slavi. but the other thing that you can do is, because this is all happening on in the internet, basically on the browser, mm-hmm. and you're a customer, Mm-hmm. And you want to show it to your boss or your customer or your client or whatever. Just like you said, you give a noisy render. It's like, hey, here's what I got so far. Let me know if you're good. You give it, and it's only cost you a fraction of the cost as you're going.
Yep.
They get an approval while it's there, and it's like,
could
that's
like
good.
Cent, yeah.
Like a couple cents or something. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's good enough to go. And then it's like, great. So now I've already got an approval, and I can continue to finish the render, and it's all great.
Yeah.
And I can even pause that render tonight. It's like, I'll show this tomorrow morning.
For example.
And then it'll still be there waiting for you.
Or we're also working on a feature. So you're quite right about that, Chris. But and also we can, you know, talk a little bit more that we're going to work on that feature. It's still not ready, but you can share a link with somebody in the system, or you can make an anonymous link, right? So you can share that with a client.
Right.
And say, hey, this is the image, and that's going to be directly in the cloud. And you can get like, you know, a couple of comments on the image, like review this. And
you're working on this, right?
So we're working on that.
So you're turning the entire
working process.
You're turning the entire web interface into a working environment.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd be able to make
notes. Yeah, because, you know, it totally makes sense. Because actually, all these things are coming from our clients. They're working on that way. So if we provide that kind of features, they're going to use more and more what we're providing to them, right?
Yeah, I think that's a really cool thing.
Also, one other thing is that we have, when you render a, let's say, VR image, we have that feature that you can see directly if your browser is web VR ready.
Okay.
You can see the image directly in the browser.
Oh, so you can do VR in it?
Yes. And you can share, you can actually, we will create a QR code for your Samsung VR or whatever VR device you're using.
Yeah.
And then you can just, you know, scan that that link, and it will open immediately in your phone, and then you'll put the glasses, put the phone.
Awesome.
And you're inside without any upload, download.
Right.
And emailing images or whatever it is.
Okay, so let's take a step back, because I know what you're saying. But let's say I'm a SketchUp guy, and I'm creating a stereo cube map of some VR experience, and I'm doing it let's say progressive rendering because I just want to see the whole image updating or whatever, and it looks pretty good. And it's like, I want to check this out. Instead of sitting there waiting. This is what you would normally do. Even sometimes today, you sit there, you save the image, you plug in your phone.
Oh, yeah. I know that experience.
And you take the JPEG, you move it to your phone, then you open it. You wait. Then you put the phone. And this is even, you haven't even gone to the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
You go, and you put the phone on, and then you like browse to the next image, and then you're like, oh, okay, that's what it looks like. Yeah. That's a pain in the ass. So what you're doing now is you're saying, okay, here it is in the browser. You see it, and you say, great. There's a QR code. You scan the QR code. It'll take you directly to your URL, and you'll see it web ready.
Yes.
And you can do it in Samsung Gear VR,
yes.
Google Cardboard.
Yes. Any kind of phone.
Anything that they'll support VR.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, awesome. That makes things so much better.
I'm looking forward.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool, because I think a lot of people, I know, especially in the architecture world, there's a ton of people that are using 6Cube or Stereo Cube Maps. So,
and the thing is that you can, even if your client is kind of, they have the devices, right?
Mm-hmm.
The client has a device that they can experience the VR.
Mm-hmm.
And that client could be in Tokyo, you can be in New York, you can share the link with them, and they can immediately see it in their, you know, VR device.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's just as fast. For you can just be on the phone, and within, you know, less than a minute, they're already looking in VR at the project.
It's already there.
Right. That's so cool. So let's talk about the platforms right now. As we said, for right now, as of today that we are recording this podcast, and I don't know when this podcast is going to be out, but as of today, right now all it is just signing up to try this thing, right?
Yes, right now we are in what we call EAP or Early Access Program.
Right.
We would like to have let's say, early adapters or, you know, users that want to try the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
So we may have depends on how our early access program goes. We may have the public beta in a couple of months.
Okay.
And when we are in public beta, what will be the difference is that right now the platform, or let's say V-Ray Cloud, is kind of closed for anyone. We just allow different people to go there and do some tests.
Right.
When we get to a beta program, then we're going to give cloud credits or render hours, whatever it is.
Give it a try.
Yep. Yeah, give it a try and give some feedback. It's going to be better, so there will be no way in any kind of SLA or whatever. But the thing is that you can do, you know, test renderers or for free, right? And test the system in order to give us feedback, and we can improve the service,
the product, right?
The product, right?
Yeah. And so right now, the first place that you can sign up is in Rhino, but soon you'll be able to sign up in what's the next product that you're going to want to try to address, sign up?
Well, yeah, so we have...
and this is Rhino 3.6, I should note.
That's in Rhino 3.6. The button is there, so the integration part is already built in. Right now, the button will, you know, redirect you to our kiosgroup.com/cloud landing page of the service.
Yep.
Next release of SketchUp is going to be public about the cloud button. Also, the next release of Revit is going to have it. That will be in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
I'm not telling any dates because those days can change.
Don't say.
Yeah, we're not, a couple of weeks.
We're not committing to anything. Yeah. No, but we can say soon. We can say soon.
Let's say soon.
And then so this is really...
We're going to have it also for other platforms.
Right.
And that's,
I'm assuming we'll have it for almost every platform.
Max and Maya are coming.
Max and Maya are coming. Absolutely. That's the question that a lot of people are having right now.
And the good thing is that anything that is based, even, you know, platforms that are not that familiar, I mean, that popular, let's say, that are based on App SDK, V-Ray application software development kit, and you've built something with that, you know, tool or SDK, you can take advantage of the cloud, or your clients can render in the cloud.
Right. So the whole cloud system is built in the App SDK, and if you have built something that's based on App SDK, which a lot of our own products are based on.
Oh, yeah.
So that's
most
what
of
most of our products are. There's a couple of exceptions because they have a whole lot of legacy. But that means that there are that integrating this feature into that version of V-Ray is going to be fairly straightforward.
Absolutely.
Right.
It will be extremely, let's say, easy, and it's kind of already built in.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is amazing. Okay, so now that we have that under, I'm sure everyone has been screaming on the podcast, wondering, okay, what is the actual cost of this? And this is a difficult question because obviously these are things this is why we're still in the early stages. Is obviously we're trying to figure out. We have a very good idea of how that's going to work, and from what I understand, we are making it so that it is basically highly competitive with normal rendering.
Oh yeah, for sure.
In terms of what it costs. But what we're offering as an advantage to that is extreme ease of use and management of the whole system, right?
Simple.
Right.
Full automation and extremely fast upload times and rendering. So that's, you know, that should be some kind of a price, of course.
Right.
But it's really important for us that our users can use that more and more. That's
sure.
why we built the entire service,
right?
Is to render more,
right?
And to enable them to do more stuff.
And
right?
It's not like one render is going to cost you $1,000. It's going to cost you so way less than that. Way less than that.
It's, yeah,
like
could be, you know,
like $1.
Could be a door, right?
Right.
Could be less than door, could be a little bit more than door,
right.
But it's that kind of money, right?
Well, yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Yes.
So you can basically, and we're probably going to have a way that you can just buy yourself a bunch of credits and then you can just use those credits as you go.
Yeah, we're pretty sure that we're going to start with some kind of a subscription service because one of the, another cost that we're going to have, that's the storage.
Right.
And there's no way we just, you know, can, so you may not render for 6 months and your data. We should delete your data. That's why, you know, that's part of the subscription. So mm-hmm. we're gonna have different, let's say, tiers,
right,
of subscription. And of course, for guys that are gonna render, you know, a couple of frames per day.
Mm-hmm.
That's 20 days per month.
Right.
We'll put some nice pricing, like really low entry point, let's put it in this way.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that we hope a lot of people to use that
mm-hmm.
in, you know, daily work.
Right.
And then for anyone that is going to render a lot more, there will be different tiers with a lot more render hours, credits, whatever.
Right.
Of course, when you buy cloud credits or render credits, you know, the price will be cheaper.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's obviously a certain balance we have to pay in terms of infrastructure, in terms of storage, and all that stuff.
That's normal. And yeah.
But it should be really affordable, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, so now we've really covered this really well. I'm excited to think about it, and obviously we'll give people more news as it goes. But what do you think about this? I mean, let's talk a little bit about where cloud is going to go. I mean, do you think this is basically going to sort of make the entire rendering idea way simpler in a lot of ways, right?
I believe so. We spend so much time and, you know, I don't know, maybe a million of working hours,
right,
for the last years.
Right.
So we started with cloud technologies, I don't know, maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago at the Chaos Group. It initially, we didn't want to, you know, do some kind of a public service.
Right.
But we worked hard in order to create technology that in the future we can build on top of that really disruptive rendering service for the masses, for anyone.
For anyone.
Yes, that was our dream, like maybe 5, 6 years ago.
Right.
Now that's happening.
Right.
So we have all the pieces of that puzzle in one place.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a really huge and complex. In order to make every single simple thing when you create that, especially when it's extremely simple for the end user, you know, behind this simplicity, it's there is a huge complexity.
Right.
And we've worked hard for years in order to get that complexity in a manageable way and to introduce a service which is very, very simple one to use. So how we see next, let's say, evolution of the cloud services is that, okay, we have that, but it's our first step, right? It's
mm-hmm.
We have way more things to offer in the future.
Right.
And crazy ideas and dreams and everything. We would like to see how those rendering cloud service will go to a different directions, like proposing some concepts of rendering to the user, right?
So, right.
So you can render like small things and, you know, we can do a lot more in the cloud and render extremely fast, like different setups of your scene.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the user then can say at the end, okay, I like that, and just
right.
render that full quality 4K, 8K.
Right.
Without even thinking about, let's say, you have like you have a gallery with environments, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we can put your building inside.
Mm-hmm.
And just render small thumbnails, and you can see, oh, that's a nice one. And just mm-hmm. pick it, right?
Right, and then it'll give you the final quality.
Yeah, for example. And there are a lot more things that we can do. Like, you know, one of the things is that...
Without even having to go back. Meaning, so you pick the right environment. You don't even have to go back into your scene.
That's,
you basically say, that's the one I want. You don't even have to open up your scene. It's just going to render it because it's already set to go.
Of course.
Right.
Also, we're looking into ways of improving your local rendering, right?
Okay.
So that's really a huge one. I can just, you know, scratch the surface.
Right.
It's right now the rendering is like, I would say offline, even though what we did with the current V-Ray cloud service is really, really fast. Mm-hmm. From the moment you press the cloud button until you get the first, let's say, buckets, mm-hmm. or if it's progressive rendering, first image, mm-hmm. could take like 30 seconds, right. sometimes even less, sometimes could be a minute, right? Mm-hmm. It depends.
Just like your normal render.
Yeah, kind of.
Right.
I'm looking forward to a way to combine the compute power with your local power machine.
Right.
In a really...
It's like a sister board on the cloud.
Kind of, yeah. imagine you're working on your laptop or something which is like 4 or 8 cores. Mm-hmm. I believe in the future, maybe you don't need more compute power as a workstation. Because if we connect the cloud to your workstation, then you'll be able to use in real time 1,000 cores.
Right.
Or 10,000 cores without even knowing that that's virtual machines or any kind of, you know.
So are we back to dumb terminals?
Compute power.
Are we back to dumb terminals in a sense? This all depends on your internet connection then. But even so, based on the smart transfer, that's...
It's about the smart transfer.
It's about the smart transfer.
Smart things. Imagine that you can just get the frame buffer in some kind of a stream way from the cloud. Most of the cloud rendering gonna happen in the cloud, and you stream that. But you operate, you use your SketchUp Max or Maya DCC
right.
in a normal way, and everything is really fast,
yep.
right? So your presentation layer is still your best DCC that you're using.
Yep.
But the real rendering in real time is happening in the cloud.
Right.
And that could be even, you can use like tens or hundreds of GPUs in the same time.
Right.
And you may not have even a GPU on your laptop.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Basically, you could be operating off a nice Chromebook. As long as the keyboard feels good, you're in good shape.
Yeah. Also, one of the things that we are looking forward is to build more and more stuff, but I don't want to put crazy features, just really useful one features.
Well, I think
in the browser.
But this is also an opportunity for our users, right? They've signed up for something. Let's say they signed up for like, okay, I want to know more about the cloud, whatever. Mm-hmm. They get their early access, they get on the beta, they get some cloud credits. They try it out. Really, this is a call to action to them because it's like them saying, oh, wow. You know what would be cool?
Oh, right? Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We need the users to think, to do that.
We of course, that's the whole. So we're also, even now we're talking with a lot of our users about the cloud
right.
under some kind of NDA, or we're having our closed beta program, which is like, I don't know, 10, 15 different users.
Right.
And we are getting some feedback, but it's really important that when they're subscribed, let's say in a couple of months, we'll continually improving the service.
Right.
We're going to put more features without they even know about that.
Right.
And
But I want to make sure
without that any downloading. Sure. Say.
We're sure. But I want to make sure that whoever is using this system, whoever signed up for this, they have feedback. A responsibility yes. to give us feedback.
Oh, yeah.
They can't just say, oh, it didn't do the thing I thought it was going to do. Tell us, well, what would you like it to do? Because this is what we do. We want to hear what you're doing,
exactly.
and we can make that happen. It's your opportunity to do that. Right?
That will be really important to make the service better and better, and we're looking forward to get as much as possible opinion and feedback from the users,
sure.
even the early adopters.
Right.
And we know that sometimes, especially at the beginning, service is not going to be like crazy good, but we're kind of pretty confident that we're going to put something really crazy.
This is only the beginning. We want to make sure everyone knows this is only the beginning, but the philosophy, I think, is sound.
Oh, yeah. I hope so.
Yeah, I think it's really good. The amount of work that you guys did is so important and so good that I think people really should take advantage of it and understand. And yes, a lot of it is going to be transparent to the user by design because why should they worry about it?
No,
it's like me. It's like when you're driving your car and you're saying, "I wonder how many cylinders are firing. Exactly. And what's the timing of my belt?" Like you don't need to look at that.
No, forget about that.
You just put your foot on the pedal and you go. And you want more gas, you push more gas.
And that's the way the cloud running should happen. For
right,
them, right. You need more. You just press the button more. And it could be faster, right. faster. Right,
right.
Let's say.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things like you said that we could think about and about making things mm-hmm. faster for you guys, making things also more efficient. And that's another thing that we're looking in as
Even
well.
Even though we got really big challenges trying to fight them every single day. Sometimes fully automated. What I like, you know, that's my philosophy, let's say, is that there shouldn't be any user interface for anything, right?
Right.
The best computer in the world should have no user interface.
Right.
You just speak to that thing, whatever.
It's the most intuitive thing.
Yes.
Right.
Should be like what we are doing right now with you.
Right.
So, and I believe that will happen in 5-10 years.
Yeah.
You know, all the advances in AI and everything else.
Right.
And
but you and I had this conversation. I thought it was brilliant. You know, when I used to get a video game way back in the day, you know, mm-hmm. I'm an old guy now, but but way back in the day, yeah, in the 80s and 90s when I'd play video games, the video game would come with an instruction book.
Oh, yes.
Right? Because yeah. it was complicated to figure out and yes. it had this whole thing. And at nowadays, I open up, I could say, I'm going to try this game on my phone. You're playing
you just
start playing. You already kind of figured out what to need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no... That is how interfaces are, and that's how rendering is going to
become.
Exactly.
And the learning curve will be, you know, better and better.
Right.
So we're looking forward for, you know, imagine that, you know, rendering is working like pressing the printer button.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So what is...
Don't say printers because printers break.
Printers is just, you know... I'm not saying printers.
Printers are a horrible experience.
But the thing is that it's
but technically speaking,
super simple.
So technically speaking, you hit print. I think, you know, the way I look at it, this is the way I thought. When you were showing it, because I was, you know, hanging out with Lon and Yavor and, mm-hmm. and Slavi and stuff, and you were showing me stuff, and we're like, this is like a one-hour photo. You know what I mean? You basically send your stuff. It's like, bloop, and then you send it. But it's not an hour. It's like a one-minute photo.
Yeah.
And it'll get you your rendering done in a minute.
Yeah.
And it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. We're actually getting kind of close, and I know that it's getting kind of late, and you and I have been trying to do this, but I really appreciate you being on board, and I'm sure you'll be back in the U.S. pretty soon. When are you coming back to the U.S.? You don't know.
Maybe that will be spring sometime.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I know I'm going to come back here for spring, but I can't say exactly why because we haven't released that information yet. but that's great. That's great. I can't wait to see it. So we'll put some videos up on the at the time so people can see it. So for those of you who are listening to the podcast, make sure to go to the actual podcast page and check out the videos if you want to see what Boris means by simple, and he takes that word very seriously. You guys can check it out, and we'd love to hear your feedback as well. And if you guys want to sign up right now, it's in V-Ray for Rhino, so people can do that. Probably by the time this comes up, it may be out for SketchUp and Revit, but just know that it's coming for a lot of the other products as well, including Max and Maya, right?
Yes, cool. Absolutely.
All right. Thanks a lot, Boris. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure. Thank you.